Hello, all you beautiful people out there. My name is Christopher Johnson, here to give you everything you desire in terms of audio vision. I don't know, audio vision. You can see with audio. People make audiobooks and you can see what's happening with audiobooks. So I guess audio vision. I feel like I just made up a new word. Anywho, hi, my name is Christopher Johnson, and welcome to my podcast. So, this is the beginning of something big for me. I'm going to be doing this every Monday, Wednesday, and a Friday. It is going to be great. Great journey. Great, great, great journey. In each of these podcasts, I will be talking about different topics, you know, history, funny events, things that I just want to talk about. Sometimes it'll just be me ranting. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes it'll just be me ranting about maybe the day I've had or how they downgraded the Hulk in Marvel movies or how they freaking or how Zack Snyder freaking set up Superman to fail in the Man of Steel movies. There's a lot of things to rant about, and there's a lot of things to talk about, so hopefully you'll listen to me talk about them. maybe not. In these podcasts, there will be topics, yes, but there will also be a part called Theater Time. This will be more towards the end of the podcast, where I will be performing. I don't know what I'm going to be performing, probably a song or a monologue, or maybe even I'll just post a recording of, I don't know, a scene of something that I wrote the day before and added effects to and made it all special and magical. Something like that. I don't know yet. But I do know that it will be Theater Time. Not this time. This is the first podcast episode, so I won't be doing any Theater Time this one, but next time. let's see. So today, since this is my first podcast, we're going to start it off with a very, very broad yet simple topic. Love. Love is, it's really hard to find, honestly. Love is something that you only truly find every blue moon, almost. I mean, there's so many loveless things happening. There's relationships where people are just in it for the money. You know, there's people giving up their bodies for money. I know that's a nasty topic, and those people do what they need to do to survive. I'm not judging you for that. It's just, I hope that you find love. I really do. Love is beautiful. Love hurts, as everyone says. It hurts because you never really know if your love is completely returned back to you. I mean, sometimes you can feel it, and sometimes you can see it, but then there are the times where the room isn't so bright, you know? You're in there with your love, or a love that you love, and it's kind of hard to tell what the payoff is. It's kind of hard to tell if you're putting yourself out there and not receiving what you put out. For instance, let's say a fighter from Mike Tyson, for instance. One of the greats, if not the greatest. Yes, Muhammad Ali, Ray Leonard and those guys, yes, of course. But everyone knows Mike Tyson. Everyone knows Mike Tyson, and some people don't know Sugar Ray Leonard. Some people don't know that guy. Everyone knows Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson. They're people that put their lives into something that, for Muhammad Ali, it was a love. For Mike Tyson, it was more of a want to be recognized, a want to be loved. Custy Amato, his trainer, gave him love. And in turn, Mike Tyson became a person in search of love, or a person protecting love. And the strength you have when you're protecting a loved thing or a loved one, that's terrifying. I mean, you saw Mike Tyson. He punched a guy and he would fly across the ring and hit the ropes. Dude had literal super strength. Like, we talk about heroes. Mike Tyson was a superhero. He was a superhuman. Literally, the guy would hit people, and if they got up, they just, I guess they were superhuman in that fact, too. Another example of love is, and this one is completely hypothetical, a boy is bullied every day in school. He is bullied to the point where he hates everyone. He thinks that everyone is against him and that everyone will hurt him. He's bullied by students at school, and when he goes home, he is left alone. His parents go to work, so he is forced to still be alone. He believes his parents love him, but it's hard. It's hard to know that they love him. Even though they tell him and they try, he just wants to be seen. He wants to feel loved. And then one day, he goes to school, and I feel like some of you think this is going to go down a bloody route. It's not going to go down a bloody route, I promise you. He goes to school, and he gets bullied again, but this time he's like, enough. So that night he goes home, and on the way to school, he finds a bunch of razor blades in the dirt. So he's like, huh, these are cool. And, you know, in the kid's mind at first, he wasn't even thinking about, you know, cutting anyone. But he's like, huh, these razor blades are cool. And, you know, if I get bullied today, I could just like flash it. And maybe, just maybe, a bully will leave me alone. Or I could take these razor blades to school and show it off. Maybe I'll be cool. Maybe the bullies will like me, the boy thinks. Maybe these bullies will make me a part of their gang or squad. Boy's looking for love. So he goes to the school and he gets bullied as usual. But this time he pulls out his razor blade. But he doesn't just have one razor blade. No, he has a backpack full of razor blades, because for some reason, someone just left out a bunch of razor blades in the dirt. No one knows why. And of course, the teachers take action. They put him in detention, suspend him, yada, yada, yada. And now the kid is, well, he feels like everyone hates him. He messed up big time, and he doesn't know what he can do to fix it. So the boy, he tries to do everything he can to right his wrong. He says sorry. He brings teachers gifts. He even tries to talk to his bullies. Maybe, just maybe, he can get them to be his friends. No cigar. The bullies are bullies. And why would they be friends with someone that they bully? They shun him. And, you know, for a moment, the kid, he thought he'd actually found love, but, well, he thought he could regain his love, or at least get some love after messing up and after not feeling loved in the first place. But the bullies, even though the teachers that he gives the gifts to, they appreciate him and say that they forgive him. And his parents, he has to work hard to appease them again, but he gets good grades in school, so they're okay with him. They become okay with him. They forgive him. But bullies, he wants to go talk to them and try to be friends with them, and they shun him. And all of a sudden, all the love that he thought he was beginning to get, that he thought he could finally win, is gone. Love is hard to find, folks. And depending on how we decide to love, well, it depends on how you keep your love. Also, who you decide to love. Someone who is not going to give you back what you give them does not deserve your love, no matter who they are, whether they be your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, or your lover. They don't deserve your love. So stop. Stop giving it to people who will never give it back. I know that's easier said than done, especially when it's a family member, like your mother or your father, someone who raised you, or your brother or your sister, someone who grew up with you, who knows you more than you know yourself. It's hard to cut them off. But love is priceless. And in order to preserve love, you have to protect it. And that means cutting off all those bad weeds. Love always feels a bit odd at first, especially when you're young. Love feels intense. Love is an all-consuming fire it's all you can think about, an all-consuming flame. All you want to do is bump fuzzies and kiss the whoever you're in love with or whatever you're in love with. Do it to a T and never stop. But you're young. And they call it puppy love for a reason. People come together believing that they truly love each other. As kids. As teenagers. As young adults. Young adults, more like teenagers. They believe that they're in love. And some are. You know, you get those one in a million high school stories about how a guy met his sweetheart and they hit it off and they've been married for 50 years and all that stuff. But those are very rare. And I honestly think that those don't happen anymore in this generation. But usually, as they grow apart. There's no real reason why, although they make reasons why, there's no real reason why. They were just young. They weren't ready to love. They liked each other. They lusted for each other. They wanted each other. They had puppy love. But it wasn't love. Almost. I keep saying it like a broken record, but love is actually really priceless. Once you find it, you hold on to it for dear life and protect it from everything else, because love will guide you through every storm that you have. Every single storm. Whether it be love for yourself, love for whatever God you believe in, or love for the science that keeps you up at night thinking, love for your dog that licks you every time you wake up. Just
love. It's well,
huh. Speaking of love, there was a purveyor of love, not of loving a person or wanting a person, but love of just loving other people, loving who other people are, no matter if they're brown, black, white, pink, blue, purple, yellow, or green. Just to love each other. And this person spoke about this a lot back in the day when there was not a lot of love for people who did not look alike. I'm talking about Martin Luther King Jr. The guy was many things. A pastor, a motivational speaker, a civil rights activist. He was a man who purveyed love. To love one another instead of hating one another simply because we look different. I mean, come on, man. Sometimes people in, well, I know for me, it's hard to think that some people out there aren't gonna like me just because of how I look. That's so hard to think about. It's like, why? What did I ever do to you? I don't even know you. You just don't like me because I look this way? Like, What stories did your parents tell you about me that made you hate me before you even know me? Is it Shrek up in here all of a sudden? I don't get it. But then I wasn't in that time. I didn't feel the hatred that one group of people had for another group of people. But Martin Luther King, he was a purveyor of love and a purveyor of work, a purveyor of making your life what you want it to be, of having a solid goal, a solid plan, and sticking to it, having determination, being powerful. And today, coming to the end of this podcast, I would like to enter theater time, in which I will be doing a speech from Martin Luther King Jr. The title of this speech is, What is Your Life's Blueprint? He told it 6 months before he was assassinated. There was a group of students at Barat Junior High School in Philadelphia around October 26, 1967 that got this, got these nuggets of wisdom. Nuggets of wisdom that I'm going to give to you. It starts as this. I want to ask you a question, and that is, what is your life's blueprint? Whenever a building is constructed, you usually have an architect who draws a blueprint, and that blueprint serves as the pattern, as the guide. And a building is not well erected without a good, solid blueprint. Now, each of you is in the process of building the structure of your lives. And the question is whether you have a proper, a solid and a sound blueprint. I want to suggest some of the things that should begin your life's blueprint. Number one in your life's blueprint should be a deep belief in your own dignity, your worth, your own somebody-ness. Don't allow anybody to make you feel that you're nobody. Always love yourself. Always feel that you count. Always feel that you have worth, and always feel that your life has the ultimate significance. Secondly, in your life's blueprint, you must have as the basic principle the determination to achieve excellence in your various fields of endeavor. You're going to be deciding as the days, as the years unfold, what you will do in life, what your life's work will be. Set out to do it well. And I say to you, my young friends, doors are opening to you. Doors of opportunity that were not open to your mothers and your fathers. And the great challenge facing you is to be ready to face these doors as they open. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great essayist, said in a lecture in 1871, "If a man can write a better book, or preach a better sermon, or make a better mousetrap than his neighbor, even if he builds his house in the woods, the world will make a beaten path to his door." This hasn't always been true, but it will become increasingly true. And so I would urge you to study hard, to burn that midnight oil. I would say to you, don't drop out of school. I understand all of the sociological reasons, but I urge you that in spite of your economic plight, in spite of the situation that you are forced to live in, stay in school. And when you discover what you will be in your life, set out to do it as if God Almighty called you at this particular moment in history to do it. Don't set out to do just a good job. Set out to do such a good job that the living, the dead, or the unborn children couldn't do it any better. If it falls on your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Leontine Prince sings before the Metropolitan Opera. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, "Here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well." If you can't be a pine at the top of the hill, be a shrub in the valley, but be the best little shrub on the side of the hill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a sun, be a star. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. For it isn't by size that you win or fail. Be the best of whatever you are. This has been The Judah Chronicles, Christopher Johnson, signing off. I wish you all a good night, and be safe, and love. Love yourself, love others, and have a plan. Protect your love. Good night.